Welcome, Potters, to episode 114 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, we are now brand spanking new on the Google Podcast portal. You guys can find us at least hopefully once they have helped me troubleshoot why our podcast page doesn't show up.
Woo!
The feed works just fine. There's nothing wrong with the feed. The podcast itself is just fine. For some reason, it just doesn't integrate well with Google side. And so we're trying to figure out, you know, how do we make square peg fit in round hole, and then everybody will be happy. So once that's done, you will be able to actually listen to us through Google Play Music.
I learned from Sesame Street that square pegs do not fit into round hole, so I don't know how that's going to work.
You shave the corners off the square, and then it fits into the round hole.
But I didn't learn that on Sesame Street. Square is square, and round is round.
We also didn't learn about pegs going into holes on Sesame Street either. So, you know.
You could question that with Bert and Ernie, but.
We're adults, guys. We're sorry.
Oh, my God. It seems to be working because we already gained another viewer just by talking about Sesame Street.
It's been a really long week, you guys.
Yeah, it has.
Not just in terms of costuming, because, of course, we're both frantically working on costumes for various things. Val is working on her embroidery. I am hand-stitching more Irelia, because I just got back from another concert series where I lost a week and I couldn't work on cosplay. And Akon is coming up really, really soon, sooner than it really should. And, oh God, Dragon Con after that. And Infinicon. And apparently now we're in a Game of Thrones group. So there's always something to work on. So you're going to see us crafting.
Yeah, in all fairness, I was already planning on making this Game of Thrones dress long before that ever happened. So you just joined in on the madness. Aha!
I was going that weekend anyway.
Oh, nice.
I always go that weekend.
I didn't see what weekend it was. I just saw, I think I'm going to do that date.
No, it's 1001 Dreams.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, I'm going anyway, and there's going to be all these people here. It'd be really awkward if I saw all of my friends in these themed costumes and I was the only one not in a themed costume. Maybe I should join them.
And the madness begins.
Yeah, now I just have to convince them to camp.
I refuse to camp. My dress is currently worth $585. I am not camping. You all can suck it. I'm also too much of a wuss to be camping. That's just not my lifestyle, not who I am. I full on admit to it. I will pay extra for the hotel room.
And I adore camping. So I'm going to camp. Even if every other person stays in the hotel, I'm still going to camp.
I'm a wuss. I full on admit to it. And I'm okay with that.
I can't fire dance at the hotel.
So?
I go to TRF to fire dance.
She likes to show off.
Eh.
Yes.
I'm also a cosplayer, so, you know, there's the whole attention thing. Come on, guys, admit it. I know everybody says you cosplay for yourself. And for 99% of the reason that you cosplay, that is true.
It's that 1%.
It's that 1% where, whether you want to admit it or not, we do it partially for the attention.
Darn right we do.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be randomly getting up in the costume to show love for the character, because there are other ways that we all show love for our favorite characters. Getting into costume is just one way you show love for the character in a manner that elicits attention.
Yep.
So it's not necessarily in a bad way. We're not saying this to criticize. It's just you have to admit it. That's partially why we do it. And that's why we spend so much time sitting here working on it. So it looks good.
Accuracy.
I will be eventually working on accuracy. I'll get there eventually. So I see visually cosplay updates behind you.
Yeah, I know, right? I just kind of shoved them all onto my dress form because I was
tired. It sparkles.
It sparkles a lot. Like, you see all of that sparklies, there's even more sparklies. Actually, what I did yesterday, I had initially, let me think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I had 6 capes. I took off one of them because I looked at it and I was like, I think this might be just a little bit too much. And which sounds terrible because you're like, I've already got six. Do I really need to think that this is not enough? Do I need to just throw more crap on top of it? But I just had that moment where I looked at everything. It was on the dress form. I had my yardstick as acting as my arm since I don't have arms on my dummy. And I just kind of looked at it and was like, I think this might be a little too much. Maybe I should take it off. I hit that point yesterday where I was like, okay, let's step back. Yeah, so this has been the hellhole I've been working with, but I've got all of my sequin stuff done for now. I don't think that I'll be making anything else out of them. We'll see what happens. So capes are done. I got to work on the armbands for them, so that won't be too terrible. I'm already at work on the bodice, and then I'll be moving on to the leggings and then the boot covers. So it's steadily all coming together, and it's going to be a giant, beautiful, shiny mess, and I'm looking forward to it. This is something that I'm going to be debuting at Fanime, which is the week before Akon. So I'll be doing that, and then I'll take this sucker to Akon with me as well, because it'll be nice and breezy and open. So yeah, this is pretty much my progress, this mess of shinies. With the sequins, what I did was I glued all of them down first, and then I went through and I stitched them into place so that way they were extra, extra secure. So that's paranoia times 20 for you. I'm usually really good about that. So in the meantime, since I don't have anything I can physically work on that's small while we're doing the podcast, I'm back to Game of Thrones mode because this is going to take me quite some time. So I figure the more time I have working, the better. Any spare second I can get, I got to do it. Yeah, I should probably have some different stuff going on next week. I am getting some wig commissions done. I'm just waiting on the wigs to arrive. And then I'll be working on some lacing for the White Mage costume that I showcased last time. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for me. It's just shiny crap everywhere.
Everywhere.
I've been trying really hard to contain this mess in this craft area. Like, I've been finding sequins at work. Like, I don't even know how they got there. Like, I just looked down and I'm like, oh, there's a sequin on my pants. I don't know how that got there. Okay, sure. Why not? Like, there are sequins in my shoes. There's sequins outdoors. I thought beads were bad.
They're
Sequins,
following you.
the sequins are 500 times worse. I've never had the beads travel before. This is horrible. I'm sure I'll wake up like a year from now and just find a sequin matted to my pillow. Like, okay, sure, why not?
It will have made its way inside your pillow.
I'm almost positive there are probably a couple sitting in there now. I would not be surprised. Oh, goodness. What have you been up to, Amber, other than Symphony?
Yeah, Symphony kind of sucked up my life for the last week, so I had to put my cosplay down. Because I've mostly been doing repairs when I'm not working on Irelia. I finally finished wearing my Pyrrha skirt because I had to add a zipper to the back of it, and I had to expand it a little bit around the waist so that it fit better. So that's finished, thankfully. I just have to iron the pleats back down so that it's nice and crisp for when I wear it to Akon. So that's one thing I'm bringing. The next project I'm going to embark on is redoing Pyrrha's red dress from the dance because I always wear that to the masquerade. Plus, it's one less wig I have to bring. So I need to redo that. I actually have fabric that's not quite as stretchy as the knit that I used last time, but I don't have enough knit to redo the shape of the upper torso, which actually needs to be expanded, which means I had to get new fabric, unfortunately. Just you can't put a seam there. So I'm going to be redoing that so that it actually gives me a little bit better proportions because I like my costumes to be well tailored to my shape and not just to the pattern. And I think that's all I'm going to have time to do before Akon, depending on things, just because my work schedule is about to change where I'm going to be 4 days a week, 10 hours a day. So while that does mean I have 3 days off, it also means I'm probably going to end up sucking up one of those days just in recovery from just catching up on sleep and whatnot. So we'll see what I can get. Still plan to do Pyrrha's armor. I just don't think I'll be able to have it done for Akon. Plus, I kind of want to vacuum form the armor. instead of using the Warbla, just because Warbla really does not work well for this type of shape. It'll work well for gauntlets and such, but that's really about it. And I've been doing mundane sewing outside of cosplay because I made a screen door for my apartment patio so that I can let the nice air in while it's still nice in Texas before we roast like chickens in an oven. And it's been raining a lot, and I like letting in, you know, the rain-scented air because that's always nice. But other than that, I haven't really done too much, at least in terms of making amazing cosplay progress, simply because other things have been getting in the way. Now that Symphony is over until October, I will have the entire summer to work on things, which means I will be largely working on Game of Thrones after Akon. And if I am lucky, then I will have a chance to wear it to Infinicon and give it a test run. If not, it will be at TRF. You guys will be seeing a lot of me at Infinicon, and I can't really say much more than that for right now because I don't have permission yet. But let's just say you will see me running around a lot. And I will be very busy after Akon. Woo!
Val knows why she'll be running around a lot, and she'll be there to assist her at least some days. But yeah, that'll be a fun mess.
Incidentally, if you guys as Potters, I mean, you don't have to be in the United States for this either, but if the Potter Nation, if you guys have ideas, any sorts of ideas on how you would run a cosplay contest if you had the ability, any way you want to run it, doesn't have to be the traditional catwalk. If you want to do, you know, March Madness style bracket, if you want to do like the dating game style competition, anything is fair game. If you guys have any ideas, please do let us know for reasons.
For reasons.
And if you guys have suggestions on what you would like to see for prizes in a cosplay contest, again, not limited to the United States, this is anywhere. If you could have anything as a prize, obviously within financial reason, I don't have $1,000, but any ideas, please do send those in as well. Again, for reasons.
Gee, I wonder what the reasons may be.
I don't want to say too much. I could do the, you know, evil pinky if I wasn't hand sewing at the moment.
Yeah, hang on. Well, okay, there you go. I'm having issues with my thread here. Sorry. Thread is not going through needle. We are not threading the needle well at all.
Oh dear. And we've derailed things again. Yes, yeah, it didn't
take very long with us anyway. Let's be honest. It does not take long at all.
It gets like this when we're in the midst of con season, especially.
Oh god, yeah.
And then once you hit that period after Dragon Con, it kind of peters off a little bit when we get the holiday break between cons, and then we're not quite so scattered. But since we're really smack dab in the middle of con season right now, it's just everything is shiny and distracting. At least con season for us. Obviously, con season goes 365 days a year. We know. Just con season for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we go to a limited number of cons, and so we kind of have to pick and choose our battles wisely, or at least as wisely as you can.
I would like to go to more, but, you know, time and budget does not allow for that sometimes.
Yes, and I'm actually going to have to start traveling for work, too.
Oh, fun sauce.
So while that can mean a little bit of sightseeing, it also means I can't be at a convention that weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
But that is all that I have cosplay in the news. I'm going to close out my error page here.
Oh yeah, we're starting off real good.
Google gave me an error.
Well, there's a shocker.
Of course it does.
I'm thinking just Google does not like you. I think that's all it is.
It's probably because I'm blocking them from tracking me.
Probably. Just accept the fact that Google is your overlord and just deal with it.
I do not welcome my machine overlord.
I accept the fate of Google. A long time ago, I got their phone, so I'm at the point where it's like, whatever. Google, just take what you want. Fine.
Anyways, I only wanted to mention two things that I saw on the news. One is that Fibra has become available for purchase from Arta Wigs. Fibra is another thermoplastic. Apparently, it is similar to Warbla, but a little bit easier to work with.
At a lower temperature. That was the first thing that freaked me out. I was like, oh crap, no, that's not good.
So you are less likely to burn yourself. However, it also means that here in Texas, where we have the higher temperatures outside, you doubly cannot leave it in a car for any length of time. If it's anything above, I'd say 90 degrees in your car. Because in Texas, that you have to add like 30 degrees to that.
And there's a couple of people who have already mentioned that you can work with Therbla, I don't know, is that how you say it?
Fibra.
Fibra. Okay. How, that's such a weird name. I've read people have already posted that you can use it, you can work with it with a hairdryer, if that gives you any indication on how low the temperature is to actually mold with it. So yeah, I'm just thinking for all the southern states, that's probably a terrible, terrible plastic to work with. There's nothing out there that seals it right now that we're aware of. So it's like,
Apparently, it acts something like silicone where nothing sticks to it. It
okay.
peels off.
Oh.
It's not made of silicone, but apparently, it has that kind of a texture to it so that if you try and seal it by traditional methods like Plastidip, it literally peels right back off.
Interesting.
At least that is what I have been reading from the reviews online. Incidentally, and I'm not saying this to sound greedy or corporate, but if anybody has Therba that they'd like to send us a small sample of, then we'd be happy to do a review on the show. For now, we're just kind of dependent on other people's reviews because we don't have any. And realistically, we don't have any need for any. So there's no need for us to go out and purchase a large sheet just to review it because we won't use it yet. But if you guys have like a small, like 6 inch by 6 inch piece, that's fine. Or if you have a review, you know, we can always link to that as well.
Oh yeah, we will definitely link to reviews. I think the only thing that I would do with it is I would stick the sheet outside and see what happens to it after a couple hours in the sun, because I would be really curious to see how it actually activates with Texas heat.
I'd stick it over something shaped like a bowl. Like
Could
turn
do
a
that
bowl
too.
upside down and just lay it on there just to see
Yeah.
if the edges start flopping.
I'd be curious. Because that is
And
a real big concern for us here.
very much so, especially since it's not so much that we're worried about going outside and having armor deform. It's that in Texas, we actually have to transport the stuff to the con. And when the morning low is 80 degrees, and then you start to go driving in the summer heat to the con, your car heats up so fast. I mean, your car will easily get to hairdryer temperature very quickly, just driving to the con. So that tends to be a worry. And if you have to transport your stuff back home after the con and your car's been sitting in that really nice hot parking garage all weekend, your armor has no chance. You're going to lose it. So that is unfortunate. The other thing that I wanted to mention in the news is that Simplicity is coming out with yet another pattern. 8160, it is the traditional anime schoolgirl uniform, the sailor collar, pleated skirt. It's very, very traditional, classic anime. You've seen it all before. Now they actually have a pattern coming out for it. It is, again, Simplicity 8160. It was noted that it should be available in select Joann's by end of this month, which as of this recording is 6 days away. So it should be out in select Joann's by the time you guys hear this. I don't think it'll be widespread for probably another month after that. So keep your eye out at your local Joann's for that pattern. Also, speaking of stores, Hancock Fabrics, if you guys are living under a rock and do not know this, Hancock's went bankrupt. And the company that purchased them has decided to liquidate. And they are clearancing out all of their stores. They finally hit the 60% price point, but only on their patterns. All the fabric is still only 30% off. Maybe 40 if you're lucky. Hancock's, if you guys are listening, or if you guys have any staffers that listen to us, 40% is not clearance prices. Please, if you guys want to move this stuff, it needs to be 60, 70, 80, 90% off. Otherwise, we're all just going to take advantage of Daffodil Dash and go to the Joann's next door.
I've already done that, actually.
There you go. In fact, I have a Daffodil Dash coupon I'm supposed to be using by Wednesday. I have to go and get some more broadcloth for curtains.
I need to do that too, except not broadcloth. I got to get some duck canvas. There we go. Brain fart, sorry.
Yep. So there you go. I mean, you guys are always welcome to go down to Hancock, see what they've got. You can always stock up on patterns, but if you're looking for, a fantastic selection of fabrics at clearance prices, unfortunately, you're not going to find it at Hancock's, at least probably not for another month.
They wonder why they might be going out of business.
They're going to be going out of business for a little while if they can't get rid of their back stock,
Yeah.
because it's not like they can just, ship it off to other open stores. All of the stores are closing, so there's nowhere else they
Exactly.
can send it. One other thing to think about, this isn't in the news yet, but it will be shortly. If you guys are looking to stock up on cosplay supplies, staying away from the politics and philosophy of having giant sales on holidays instead of the purpose of the holiday being celebrated, there will be sales on Memorial Day weekend.
Well, duh.
A bunch of places do sales on Memorial Day weekend. So if you guys are looking to stock up on fabrics, now is the time to get the last of the winter lot. You may also start seeing next year's winter or next winter's lot start coming out because, oh God, stores have started getting Christmas stuff in already. If you need notions, if you need to replace tools, scissors are sharpened, purchase new scissors, make sure you've got enough pins, everything else that you need for crafting. Even crafting places, I think like Tap Plastics may have sales. So do take advantage of the sales if you need to stock up on things. Browse around for the best deals, check out coupon groups. But this is going to be the last major holiday before the 4th of July, so it may be worth it to you to take a look at the very least. So, of course, I will be checking out Golden to Ore because they usually have a sale right around this time. That will be awesome. And Joann's also has a very large sale. They've usually got percentage off your total purchase price for Memorial Day weekend. And maybe I will be getting some notions too for sculpting and making vacuum form machine. That's my summer project this year. I'm making a vacuum form machine, one that will not, hopefully, kill my neighbors. If they didn't get killed by the tiny circular saw I ran a couple weeks ago, then I think they'll be okay with the vacuum form machine. I think, because that circular saw made a lot of noise. It was not intentional either. The sucker had a 4-inch blade. 4 inches. It was like this big. That was it. That was the size of the blade, but that thing sounded like a full-size table saw. And even then, I still had to return it because it wouldn't even cut my half-inch poplar. I was so sad. Rated to cut up to 3/4-inch wood. Didn't even make it through half inch. I couldn't even make it 6 inches down the plank before it literally stopped the motor. And I held it there for a second to make sure the motor stopped. It's like, nope, that's all the horsepower I get. Sad face. Feels bad, man. I am totally part of the Twitch generation. So I'm really sorry if I say things like that. If you guys don't know what I mean, if you just Google Twitch emoticons, you will understand what feels bad, man actually refers to. I am sorry.
No, you're not.
I actually am in that case. It's like having one of those conversations, and actually, anytime my friends speak about Game of Thrones, I'm kind of like this because I don't watch the show. I don't have HBO and I don't have access to it, either online or offline. So whenever people are sitting here talking about the series really excitedly, I'm kind of lost because I don't understand what's going on. And so I feel like when I make references that people don't understand, they can't join the conversation, and then I feel bad. So it's more like that. I'm not sad for making the reference. I'm sad that people don't necessarily understand.
So this is all you need to know about Game of Thrones. There's a lot of death, there's a lot of violence, and there's a lot of nudity. It's really all you need to know.
I got that from it being on HBO.
Well, HBO actually has some really good class act shows that do not have violence, death, or nudity involved. It just happens to be Game of Thrones, really does, and they exploit the crap out of
Apparently,
it.
which amuses me because MTV apparently renewed the Shannara series. And basically, the entire commentary on that post was give it to HBO and let them actually do something with it.
Yeah, it's like it's a Game of Thrones wannabe in the wrong universe. That's exactly what it is.
Actually, the original books were not like that.
I know, that's why it's so
They were
annoying.
nothing like Game of Thrones, but they basically pitched this as being a show for teenagers. It's like a YA novel, which, for those who don't understand, means young adult.
Adult, yeah.
But it's not a young adult book or books because it's a series. But sure, why? I felt so bad. I watched the first four episodes. I would have happily finished the series, except that I have to actually pay to get MTV. And while I do have cable, MTV is not included in my package. So it's like, well, I got through the first four. I have an idea. Yeah, I kind of wish HBO had a hold of it.
They would have done it properly.
True.
Yeah, it's just people are trying to target that young adult market because it's so hard to capture. And once you grab a hold of them, they do not let go. They're a fantastic money maker, but yeah. No. So Alan has a question for you. I'm going to head back over to the Q&A,
Q&A.
and he asks, oh, come on.
Oh, it's already gone. I can't
I
see.
got it. He says, yay, Vacuform. Which design are you going to use?
I am actually using a miniaturized version, at least that is my plan, of the Vacuform machine that's out of the yellow prop building manual. Pan, but it's one of those theater type manuals, the prop making and sculpting manual. I could probably tell you what it was if I actually like saw a picture of it, but it's
Okay.
bright yellow. And it's the only one that's yellow. But in the back of that manual, they have very detailed instructions on how to build a Vacuform machine. And more or less, I'll be building the Vacuform part of it, but not the heating element because they actually built the heating element from scratch. I can't have that in my apartment due to fire code. So I'm going to substitute my heat gun for that portion of it and then basically do it actually in a manner really similar to the way Pheromone did his,
I thought
to
so.
where you turn it on and then you just heat it up until it molds to the outline. It is improper, or at least perhaps I should say non-traditional, but again, I'm kind of limited by what I'm allowed to keep in my apartment, and something that highly flammable is a no-no for me, unfortunately, especially storing it on my patio because the fire marshals actually just came around and did an inspection. And they do
Whoops.
periodic inspections, so yeah. That is my intent. I plan to make the board 2 feet by 2 feet because that should be plenty enough to do most large pieces. It is large enough for me to do a basic torso. I have a short torso, thankfully, but nothing larger than that. So we'll see. Mostly, I plan to do smaller pieces on it anyway.
Okay. There you go, Alan. Enjoy.
My power tool escapades.
Right? They're always entertaining and very informative.
As long as somebody learns something from my escapades, my job is done.
There you go. That's the whole point of this podcast. I was about to call it the Causecast.
Even if I set off the smoke alarm in the process.
Woohoo! Enjoyable entertainment for all.
It is for everybody except my neighbor.
Yeah, well, your neighbors will get over it.
Although now that my patio is fully screened off, now they can't see what I'm doing.
Aha!
I think I have one of the only completely screened off patios in the entire area.
Nice.
I'm sorry. I looked at one of the neighbors' patios, and I'm sure you'll associate, but they used what looks like utility mesh for their patio screening, but they put it up in pieces. Instead of having one piece large enough horizontally to cover the entire patio space, which incidentally is 126 inches, they used three short pieces, which means they probably went to the fabric store and bought 45 inch fabric
Yeah, probably.
and then did it in strips going down. They hot glued the seams. And it looks terrible because you can see the hot glue.
Well, of course you can.
So you just see these long adhesive strips going in between since the fabric is sandwiched together like this.
Oh my
And it's
goodness.
glued right here where they join instead of like stitched, which is how I did mine, where I just whip stitched across. And it's like, no, I would have been happy to stitch that together for you. Because in the hot summer heat, that glue may come undone. And we just started mosquito season here with all the rain, so that's going to be fun.
That's going to be joyous.
Joyous is certainly one word for it.
That was sarcasm 101, my dear.
I know.
Oh, gravy. Okay, so off to cosplay in the
Okay.
news.
It's called the Prop Builder's Molding and Casting Handbook.
Oh, there you go. She found
It's
it.
by Thurston James. And it's actually one of the best books I've ever read on cosplay type stuff. It's a really good book. Yeah, I can hook up my house vacuum to it. That'll be fun.
That could be interesting.
But yes, if there are any other cosplay updates in the news, I've already passed what I have. Because otherwise, we can move on to our articles.
Yeah, let's move on to our articles.
Okay. If you would like to introduce these.
I can definitely do that. And actually, one of these we've already posted earlier on, and we got quite a few shares off of it. Kotaku, Australia actually interviewed three different cosplayers and a form of making money that most of you probably didn't even think about before, but it's cosplaying sponsorships. And essentially, what it is they work with a game developer or they work with an art studio or whatever the case may be. And sometimes it's for a full year contract, sometimes it's just like a 6 month contract or a per costume basis. And they make their costumes and then they wear it at a convention or they wear it at a trade show and they get paid for it. So it's kind of a different way of the cosplay celebrity world, but a little bit more of a legitimate like modeling slash crafting job. It kind of takes that art form to a new level. And I thought it was kind of interesting. I thought it was interesting how difficult it is to work in those circumstances, how tricky it is to get a job like that. It's certainly not easy because they expect not only high quality craftsmanship, but they also want to make sure that you look pretty darn close to the character in the game. I mean, there's only so much that one person can do to alter their body. So it was really interesting to read how tricky and how difficult that part of the industry was. And it sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, but it's also ridiculously exhausting. Because if you think about even cosplay 5 years ago, we weren't as social media heavy as we are now. And that's part of your job. You have to be incredibly active on social media. I'd imagine like during trade show weekends, they probably never sleep. It's probably get up at the crack of dawn, get dressed, get ready, go to work at the booth for 8 to 12 hours, and they have to go immediately to bed because, oh, you probably can't even go immediately to bed. You're probably on Twitter and Facebook the entire time playing updates, and then you go to bed at midnight and have to be up at 3 a.m. the next morning.
And they have to do promotional materials too, promotional photo shoots, promotional video shoots, and all of these other things besides appearing at conventions and occasionally Sometimes they even have to do corporate events, like if they have sponsored parties at the company headquarters where they invite people in, sometimes they have to make appearances there too. So
It is
it's
definitely, it's a
a
lot of
lot of
work.
work.
It's a cool aspect, so you get to see different parts of the industry that you never get to see before. It's almost like a behind the scenes, especially if you are really big into video gaming, because that's typically where cosplay sponsorship comes into play, is video games. It's kind of cool that you get the behind the scenes look of, the development process. That's awesome. But that's also that next step forward of, this is no longer a hobby. This has now become your job. Physically and
Or at least as long
mentally.
as your contract.
Oh yeah. It is your job, needless to say.
It is, and also, not everybody makes their own costume. Sometimes the company will provide it, but they'll bring in people to custom make it for you,
Right.
particularly since you are their model. If you are provided with those sorts of costumes, you still have to maintain it. You have to make sure it's clean, make sure that nothing breaks, and if it does, you have to get it repaired very, very quickly. It's not like you can just pull out your good old handy repair kit at a convention, especially with some of the materials they use. But some of these guys also have to make their own costume, which means they have to spend all of their spare time making costumes when they're not actually walking around in it. And we all know how much time cosplay can take. When you're just doing this without a deadline or without a hard deadline. Because, make it for an upcoming convention. If you don't finish it by that convention, okay, well, you can just wear it to the next convention. These guys don't have that option. If you're contracted to appear at this convention in this costume, you have to appear at that convention in that costume. And it
No
has to
ifs,
look
or buts.
professional.
Uh-huh.
You can't just. Oh, well, I'll just whip through this and nobody will notice. Nope, you are a professional. They do notice.
They notice every little nook and cranny and detail. Even the people who think, oh, they've never cosplayed before. They have no idea what it's like to put clothing together. No, they know. If something doesn't look right, they will know. And you will get reams for it too.
You may have your contract terminated.
So yeah, it was a really cool article to read. I'm glad that they did that for one, and I was able to find it and share it. But they also provide some really good tips for people who are interested in getting into the world of cosplay sponsorships. Some general how-tos, what to look out for. Don't take things word of mouth. Make sure that you actually get a signed contract, because something that's legally abiding saves your butt as well as their butt too. So yeah, it was really cool. It was a good read. Sometimes Kotaku has some fun cosplay stuff, and they're not about beating each other up.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
All right. And then we have the second article.
Which made me giggle.
This one was neat, but I have a feeling it's going to get the same blowback that we're seeing in other aspects of this issue. But the headline is, this woman created her own major in cosplay. So she attended in a school, a University of Hartford in Connecticut, as what's called a contract major. And basically that's you draw up a proposal or a contract for your major. It would be the equivalent of miscellaneous, where you get to fill in the miscellaneous. But you also have to fill out your class track. It's not like you can just say, I want to major in this. You have to detail exactly how you're going to get there. And then the university has to approve it. So this isn't automatic. It's not like this just happens. So she ended up creating the equivalent of a cosplay degree, even though it wasn't actually called that. Technically, it's an art major, just with extra things, art, performance, and special effects work, which falls under theater. So that said, she took all these different classes that basically assembled to become making her own costumes. But that means the full Monty with the costume, the makeup, the wig work, all of the seamstressing, prop making, everything all together for her major. And that is really neat. However, there's always the blowback of, liberal arts degree. We don't need any more liberal arts majors. What do they do for society?
Hey now, I'm a liberal arts major. Leave me be.
I'm a liberal arts graduate too.
I'm a FUD liberal arts major. I have a PhD in this crap. What's
So
that say about me?
I'm not criticizing because I support liberal arts. I think there should be more liberal arts majors for many reasons that I will not get into because this is not a politics and philosophy cosplay podcast. But that said, there will be that blowback. So just if you happen to be at a school that gives you that opportunity, please do take it. Just know that there are people who will be against it. And be prepared to basically ignore them.
Yeah, you'll do a lot of ignoring because that's when it came to my master's degree. That's essentially the type of program that I walked into. The degree is arts and technology, but I was able to petition for what I wanted to follow. I had to draft up my course plan. I had to have professors as sponsors and make sure that I met with them on a weekly basis so that I was staying on track. And it was a lot of work, but at the same time, it allowed me to go down the path that I wanted to do for my education. And I learned more that way. I learned things that I never would have learned in a traditional classroom setting. And it was really, really cool. It was a lot of hard work, but totally worth it. So it's one of those things where it's not a real cosplay degree. Those do not exist. You can, if you are at one of those schools that give you the opportunity to make something similar to it, go for it. If it's something that you really are truly passionate about and you want to make this into a career, go for it. And I think the way that this woman did it was really a fantastic way because she not only did the art classes, but she also got into the journalism classes so she can learn more about social media because that's a huge aspect of cosplaying now. So I just like looked at the article title and I was like, there's no cosplay degree. Don't lie to me.
No, a lot of the times, and you'll find this if you look at the backgrounds of what they call professional cosplayers, but a very vast majority of them are either self-taught, but come from industries that are related. Like, for example, special effects work for films, or being in an automotive body shop for prop building, which is fine. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the other vast portion of them come from fashion design. A lot of them hold fashion design degrees. And that's kind of the closest you get to cosplay degree these days. So if you want a cosplay degree and your school doesn't offer one and doesn't offer something like contract major, basically you're gonna have to end up going the theater and/or fashion design route. And then just make sure you take classes in all sorts of disciplines related to cosplay. And if you're into prop building, at least an auto body shop may be useful, especially because they go over painting techniques and priming, which is incredibly important when you're making props.
Good God, is it important?
Standing forever.
Sanding for days, so many days of just nothing but sanding, and then painting, and then sanding some more.
You don't even get to the painting part. You get to the priming part. Then you sand some more. And then you put down your base coat. Then you sand some
Me
more.
sand some more.
And then you put on your weathering. And then you get to sand again to weather the piece.
Oh my goodness.
And then you get to seal it.
There's really no painting process. It is just sanding.
It's 99% sanding, 1% everything else.
That's too funny. And so true. So incredibly true. yes. Cosplaying people, this is what we do.
This is always what we do.
Oh,
Incidentally, if you guys have articles that you find online, you guys are always welcome to send us links. Please make sure that one, they are legitimate links, and two, that they are safe for work links in case we do happen to visit them while we are at work. Because sometimes we do keep up with the podcast while we are at our day jobs. But please do send those to us as long as, we're allowed to. So if you have convention coverage, photos, stories, anything like that, please feel free to send those to us as well. We will happily take them.
Yay.
All right, on to pattern draping.
Yay, which I just did earlier this morning with my barking dog in the background. Woohoo! So we will have this on our page as well, the full 1 hour and 45 minutes. And yes, it did take me that long of pattern draping, but well, this is the nice 15 to 20 minute smaller segment. So I don't make you guys suffer through the whole thing. So enjoy.
A couple people have asked me to have a tutorial like this. They've posted on our CosPod podcast page. They've messaged me personally. So it was like, okay, I need to actually do a bunch of draping in the upcoming months for costumes that I'm working on. So pulled out all my gear and I'm going to show you guys how to do it. And the great thing about draping on a dress form or draping it on your own body is it gives you a more accurate representation of what the final garment is going to look like on you. You don't have to worry about the store-bought pattern not quite fitting your size and then having to edit it and take it in, take things out, adjusting and editing and all that fun stuff. And what I also like about it is that it gives me a little bit more flexibility, especially if you have like really strange or odd curves on the garment that are not very easily replicated by simply drawing out the pattern and doing math with it. This is very math friendly, as in if you really suck at math or you hate math, this is perfect for you, which is great for me because I'm terrible at math and numbers, so I like draping a tons. When draping a pattern, here are the things that you are going to need. You will need a dress form. Having done this multiple times, I can tell you having a dress form is incredibly helpful. You can drape it on a duct tape dummy if you'd like. That works too. Dress form. I would strongly encourage you getting a dress form. It doesn't have to be an adjustable one. It can be one that fits your body type, and that is totally cool. This is just the one that I happen to purchase for me. This is what works best for me. You don't need one with the arms or the leg extensions unless you really want to. That's totally your call. You can drape on your own body. I don't really recommend it because you're going to be using a lot of pins and having to go do a lot of this yoga movement here. Not so comfy, not so great. In those situations, if you don't have a dress form, you don't have a duct tape dummy, it's just you, yourself, and nobody else, get a really close relative or your best friend to help you with pinning things on you. That way you have another eye there to make sure that one, you don't pin yourself to death and start bleeding like crazy because getting stuck with a bunch of straight pins, not so gravy. But it's also to ensure that all your seams look nice and neat and even because as you're working on this side, you may have stuff shift over on this side and things will become looking really, really wonky really quickly. So having another eye there to watch is immensely helpful. The other things you're going to need, of course, are your fabric because this is all about fabric pattern draping. So the go-to when it comes to making mock-ups and for draping is muslin. And it kind of flows okay, as you can see. It's a little bit of stiffness to it. It works for what it is. And you can buy this pretty much at any crafting store or any fabric store. But if you want some alternatives, definitely look into getting some of the quilting cottons. More often than not, you'll find those on sale, and they are immensely cheaper than muslin. And I like working with it a little bit better because it doesn't fray as badly. I think it replicates other fabrics a lot better, like silks and chiffons and much more finer things that are going to have movement to it. So I prefer going with cotton. And yeah, it can be way cheaper, especially if you have discounts and coupons that stack on top of each other. You probably spend less than a dollar a yard on cotton than you can on the muslin. Next up that you're going to need, if I can get this unraveled here, you can go with bias tape on this or you can use yarn. I like using yarn because I'm cheap like that. And the reason for the bias tape is to mark out below your fabric as well as on top of your fabric where you want your seam lines to be and where you want your neck opening, your arm opening will be. So it'll just be something like this. Boop. You pop it onto the dress form, you pin it down, you stick your fabric on top of it, and that way you can see it through the fabric and you can make out your markings there. It helps out immensely. Because once you cover up your dress form with the fabric, it can be difficult to see where the armholes are. So having bias tape or yarn underneath it really, really helps. Of course, you will need some scissors and you will need to have measuring tape in case you need to adjust stuff. The last thing that you're definitely going to need is your pen and your pencil. I get yelled at all the time for using this, but I think that this works so much better than tailor's chalk. Tailor's chalk is meant to rub off over time, and after you're done messing with your dress form and you cut everything apart, tailor's chalk may not be there anymore. Kind of defeats the purpose of having cut and written all over your garments. So this is why I use pen and pencil. Make sure you pick stuff that's not going to bleed through the fabric, because bleeding through your fabric means it'll bleed onto your dress form and it'll stay there forever and eternity. Not so gravy. So there you go. And then, of course, you will need your pins. As many straight pins as you can possibly pick up, because you're going to use a lot of them. Even in really simple garments like the one that I'm going to be demonstrating today, I'll be going through a lot of pins. It's just going to happen. First things first is we are going to start chopping up this yarn and mark out where my neckline and where my armholes are going to be. Now, this is a pretty simple dress. It's very, very cut and dry to the point. The actual like lines of it, there's really no neck hole. It's going to be straight across, easy for me. And it's the same thing with the armholes. I'm only doing the armholes here because she does have those straps. They're kind of thin, and I want to make sure that wherever the dress sits underneath my armpit, that doesn't rub up against me uncomfortably. Okay, so there is armhole. We'll get scissors here and snip and snip. So there's number one for you. Now, if you have a custom dress form, it's not going to have all these adjustable knobs in the middle or along the sides. So in those cases, what I would do is I would take up my bias tape or I would take my yarn and mark out where the center line is, where the bust line, the waistline, the hip lines are. Do the same thing on the shoulder and then the same thing in the back. One of the nice little perks of having this dress form is I know exactly where the center of the back is, as well as along the sides and along the front. So I don't need to do that extra step. But if you don't have an adjustable dress form, make sure you take the time to do that step because it can help you when you're patterning everything out. And this one is pretty self-explanatory. You just take a giant hunk of fabric and you wrap it around your dress form. It is that simple. And you want to get the pins pretty close to the dress form. You'll be adjusting it, making it tighter later. Okay, and then the next thing we want to do is, because we have this giant opening over here, I'm just going to straight pin it all the way down where the selvedge edge is. So now that we have it kind of sort of onto the dress form, we get to do the fun part of tightening it to the dress form. And I always like to start with the armholes and then work my way down, since the side seams tend to be one of the more integral parts of any outfit. And as you can see, as I start working my way down, it's going to get tighter and tighter and tighter, and we'll be using up a lot more fabric. It's not going to pull too much of this side over, as long as you've made it pretty close to the dress form up here, and it should be fairly tight up here. There's still a little bit of give, as you can see, but there's just enough that the fabric, if you pull it over here, it's not going to pull everything on this side over. Can kind of keep things a little bit even and neat that way. Good. As we start working through this, it will actually get tighter and it will actually fit snugly to the dress form. Right now the focus is on getting the fabric to a spot where we can start working with it comfortably. But as you can see already, like how much fabric we're getting rid of. And I'm going to do the same to the other side. This is where we're going to start seeing a lot of that fabric go away and more of the shape of the dress form coming out. If you have a neck hole, this is the time when you want to go ahead and start trimming pretty close to that neck hole line. If you don't have a neck hole, cut straight down the middle, just a little bit, not all the way down. And then I do the same thing over here, so it kind of makes these weird little triangles. Not all the way down, maybe about the length of your index finger. And then the same thing on this side. Ah, space to breathe. So now we're no longer choking our dress form. And then this is what I do. So I go in and I tuck these flaps under. That way it's not stressing or stretching the fabric any longer. It's just out of the way and no longer being inhibited by the dress form. I do the same thing on the back as well. But yeah, as you can see already, just by doing that, it's gotten rid of a lot of the stress and the wrinkles that were originally causing issues up here, as well as issues in the back. Okay, so next thing that I'm going to do is now we can go in and start pulling at the fabric and make it a little bit tighter in certain areas. With this particular costume, I need to keep in mind that there's going to be darts sitting underneath each bust line that are going to go all the way down. So I need to have at least enough fabric left over to accommodate for that. But right now it's looking like a sack, essentially, and we don't want it to look like a sack. I need to start pulling at the fabric to make it much more fitted along the bust and along the waist. Even though this dress is not going to have any type of armholes on it, anything that you do up here is going to affect the rest of the garment. So it's important to keep all of that in mind and work on the entire fabric as if the entire thing is going to end up being sewn. I'm not going to cut anything out just yet. I want to make sure everything is pinned into place before we get to the cutting action. So with that in mind, I think the silhouette on the side is going to be pretty close to what I want it to be. And there's still a little bit of give left in here that I can easily slip in and out of the outfit. So now we can start working on some of the finer details. And this one is actually going to be pretty simple because it's just two darts in the front, two darts in the back. Not the most challenging thing in the world, which is awesome. So let me get a bunch of my pins out and hopefully not pinch myself in the process. We're going to start grabbing little chunks of fabric and start getting those darts going. And I'm going to tab over to the dress itself so I can see exactly where it starts. And hers are kind of unique because they actually sit like right there. That's uncomfortable. I don't remember that being a thing. So that's exactly where I'm going to go. And as you can see, it's just very much me pinching the fabric and then sticking a needle in it. And trying very, very hard to keep it straight. And as you can see, as I'm moving my way down, I am going to be taking in more and more fabric. And this is going to change and alter for your body type. If you're a little bit larger around the waistline, you may be using less fabric. If you're a little bit larger around the hips, which is where I am, you're going to be using less fabric. So this is also why I like doing this type of draping, because then I get to see everything as it's happening and I can fix it. Yeah, that's much better. Way better. Okay. I was having a moment. It's all good now. So now I need to do the same over here. I'm going to start up in the middle and work my way up. So the other thing I'm also checking to make sure if there's any puckering in between here as I was moving along. It's a little hard to tell because I didn't iron the fabric first, which was a dummy move of me. I ironed most of it. This section somehow got missed, so that was my bad. So I want to make sure that there is no like bunching or weird gathering or gaps. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to come through here, pull the fabric just a little bit tighter, Alrighty, we are looking good here. Now, if I wanted to keep going on with this particular dress shape, what I would probably do is at the hip line, because right now it's a little tight at the hip line, it's not the worst thing in the world, would be to take it from here and kind of flare it out just a smidge. So that way I have a little bit more movement at the bottom of the dress. I've pretty much settled that I like the way that this looks. I think it'll fit out really, really nicely. So now we get to have the fun part where we get to start drawing all over this thing. Basically, what you do is you take your pen or your pencil and you start marking out exactly where all of your cuts are going to be. This is where you're going to be cutting out your fabric. So you're going to do it along the seam lines, going to be doing along any darts or any places where you gather. You're going to be doing it up here. Really, the only spots where I won't be doing it is along the shoulders and along the armhole because that's not part of the final dress. I'm not actually even cutting out the straps for the dress. I already have those pre-made somewhere and I know they're going to fit me, so I'm not too concerned about it. So, yeah, now we get to draw all over it. Yay! This is the fun part. This is the part where people get mad at me. It's awesome. And I'm going through and I'm just going over all of my markings and where I'm going to be cutting the fabric. In this case, this is where the top of the garment's going to be. And I'm going to do the same thing with the back. Oh, I love drawing all over fabric. It's so fun. And it annoys so many people when I do it. It's great. Okay. So we did that one, and as you notice, I'm only doing it half of it. This is the half of the garment that I'm going to be using. I'm not going to be doing the entire thing. Waste of my time, waste of my energy. The other thing that I do is I mark out with the pen or the pencil where the center lines are going to be for the front and the back. So at this point, what I'm going to do now is mark out my pattern pieces to let me know which one's the front piece, which one's the back piece, where they're going to line up, and all that fun stuff. And once that's all said and done, you can actually start going through and cutting out your pattern. And it's just as simple as taking a pair of scissors to the fabric and just cutting around all the lines that you have made. And as you actually start cutting out all this excess fabric, you'll actually start seeing the shape of the garment taking form. And after you are done cutting it out, you now have your pattern. Huzzah! What I would do from here is I would still take this to the next step and create a mock-up just to make 100% certain that I've got my pattern exactly the way that I like it. The pattern is my way of knowing that I've got it all down correctly. The mock-up is great, then I can transfer it to the final fabric. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is pretty much how you drape a pattern onto a dress form. So if you ever have any questions, comments, if you would like to know alternate ways of doing this, because there are multiple ways of doing draping, feel free to drop us a line.
And we're back. Hopefully you
Yay!
guys found that helpful, as we have actually had quite a few requests for draping tutorials and or ways to make patterns without using commercial patterns.
And that was definitely a way of making a pattern without having to even touch a commercial pattern or without having to use math. That's the double bonus.
True, because if you use slopers, it involves a ton of math.
God, that's so much. It's more math than what my little brain even wants to handle. So, yeah, draping is a billion times better.
And actually, I need to go through and redo my set of slopers.
Ugh, I hate
It
slopers.
makes It makes my life a lot quicker because I tend to use the same type of pattern over and over and over again.
True.
For when I make bodices and such, they tend to be pretty similar shapes. So I can just use my sloper pattern to really quickly pump out duplicates that all fit me precisely. And that's why I like slopers. If you use the same type of pattern over and over again, they're great. If you don't repeat shapes very often, it's actually better to drape. So that's kind of the pros and cons of both. It's not that one is necessarily harder than the other, although depending on your proclivity to math, it may be for you. Because one uses a lot more math and one uses a lot more visualization.
Oh my God, so much math. But But it makes sense, though. If you're using that pattern consistently and it's your go-to pattern for so many things, it makes sense. Invest in the time to make a sloper pattern. And I have the same thing with a pair of leggings that I made, God, 4 years ago. I made that pattern maybe about 4 years ago, I want to say. I still consistently use that exact same pattern. It took me a good half of the day to get the math right on it. But it's my go-to. I don't use anything else now.
And bear in mind that even if you use a sloper book, and there are a lot of books out there that teach you how to make slopers, those are still generic measurements built on the average human body, which is how commercial patterns are sized as well, or at least what they thought was the average human body, which is no longer average. But even if you use those, you're still going to have to make adjustments initially to the pattern so that it fits you. So don't be discouraged if you make what is supposed automatically precise to you and it doesn't fit. Make adjustments and try again. And this is why typically you will use not necessarily muslin, but fabric which is not your final product to make your initial patterns. Then you transfer that to the final product. Please don't start on your final fabric. Whenever you're making any sort of pattern, please don't start on your final fabric, because if you make any sort of mistake that involves being short, you can't just add fabric. You have to add a seam. And then you have basically screwed up the appearance that you were going for. So it's better to practice first and screw up on that, because you can always tape that fabric back together. Not so on your final fabric. Unless, of course, you're going for the taped look, in which case you go right ahead.
Say final fabric three times fast.
Final fabric, final fabric, final fabric.
It just sounds really funny.
Final form.
Oh, gravy. Can you
Now
tell that I was tired?
just have this image of a Final Fantasy-like game where you have fabric and its final form is some sort of boss battle, and you've got your three cosplayers sitting here arrayed, just kind of doing the little bouncing animation, getting ready to fight. Yes, I know.
I'm gonna keep pointing, 'cause you know that's what that monster is.
And Final Fabric is just this giant Ifrit-like boss just kind of hovering in the background waiting for you.
That's probably about 95% of what Final Fantasy costumes are. Oh,
But
goodness.
you don't start on your final fabric, just like you don't start on the final boss in Final Fantasy either.
I kind of did
You have
on
to work
these.
your way up. Set a good example. Do as I say, not as I do.
I know, I'm a really bad example. In my defense, though, I've made a butt ton of capes in my lifetime, so I could probably do this in my sleep and be totally fine. I actually didn't want to waste all that extra fabric, because that would have been a ton of fabric that had gotten thrown out.
You have to build your costume just like you build up your party. Level up with experience, then you go fight the boss. With proper tools in hand.
I jump straight forward the boss. I seem to be to won that one.
You're
Do as
not
we
helping.
say, not as we do.
I don't start on my final fabric, thank you very much.
Ah, goodness.
Mostly because I hate waste, so I go through way too much muslin and or knit and whatever other fabric I have lying around that I know isn't destined for some sort of final project. So I just use whatever I have lying around, and I am not above masking taping it back together whenever my patterns are short, or whip stitching little chunks of fabric together to make one big chunk so I can make my pattern piece. And then I keep all the pieces. I keep all my patterns. Because that way I can reuse them later. I don't have to redo them. I hate redoing patterns. It's a pain in the tush.
Whereas I just set a bad example, so you know.
This is why I'm the good one and you're the evil one. I set a good example.
Still have my dark side soap that I haven't used yet.
Except lighting things on fire. That's not a good example.
No, that's never a good example. That's your domain that I will not cross over into. That's yours.
I'm fired guys there. Just as I do every year. I still find it hilarious that that's what tends to get a shocked look out of my coworkers. It's not the bike, the motorcycle riding, it's not the cosplay, it's the fire dancing.
Yeah, it's like you dance with fire, heathen.
What do you mean fire dancing? Oh yeah, I just dip two balls of Kevlar film and stick them in lamp oil and then light them on fire and spin them around my body for fun.
Wee! For fun, that's the emphasis there. For
For fun.
fun. Aha!
Because I like hearing the whoosh of fire going around me while struggling not to burn myself.
On that lovely note, let's call this episode a wrap and jump into after session.
And when you say rap, I think of the PokéRap.
Oh, cool.
I don't know why.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. It's okay. We're nerds like that.
We will call an end to this episode 114 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. If you guys have not watched last episode on how to properly run a panel, please do. Please share that link with everyone because that is one of our better episodes and incredibly useful. If you guys would like to contact us through any of our social media, you can find them here on screen. They'll make
Right
noise.
here. Da la 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 la. Or I could click over to the camera so that way I can do this.
That works too. And you can also email us podcast@cospod.org. You can also find us on Google Play Music's podcast page. You can either Google us or you should be able to search directly on my page for Cospod. If we do not come up, it means we are still working with them to troubleshoot the problem. We will be up shortly. Please continue downloading the show, for which we are very appreciative and we thank all of you guys. Please continue sharing our page and spreading the Cospod love. If you guys have any suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, compliments, you guys can contact us. Otherwise, we will see you guys in episode 115. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.